Pledge of the Flag. Let's try that from home. Everyone, I hope you have a flag handy. There it is. Good. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
To the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Someone want to make a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
So moved.
I'll check it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. At this time, I'd like to rearrange some of the resolutions. I spoke with Legislator Petit just a few minutes ago on the phone, and she said contingent on resolutions 177 and 178 passing, she is going to withdraw her and Legislator Parrott are going to withdraw resolutions number 8 and 9. So if we do pass 177, 178, we'll move to withdraw those two. So I'm going to ask that we put those after those two, and then that will put 173 right in front. So we'll start.
As a point of information, do you mean 178 and 179?
I do. Yes. Yeah, 177 is probably not the one that we want to be coupling there at this point.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So 178, 179, thank you. So we'll go with resolution 173, which is confirming appointment of Saja Hamed as the director of the Department of Transportation for the County of Ulster. Did I say your name correct, by the way?
You did. That's Saja Hamed.
Saja Hamed, thank you.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. If you have any questions for me in the meantime, please let me know. I'm always available.
All right. Good job. Thank you. Resolution 174, which is approving execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, the Offset House Incorporated, DBA as Catamount Color Department of Tourism. So, you want to move that for discussion?
Discussion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I thought I moved it for discussion, so I'll second.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
That's okay.
Okay, so look, so what do we got, folks?
Well, we had asked for some additional information as to why we're doing this now. What was the 10% cut the tourism department was proposing? Given our current state, do we really need to be spending this money on a tour guide? And so we were waiting for some questions back. And Evelyn, I don't know if Mark handed them off to you. They came out of our chair meeting.
No, I'm sorry, I did not get those questions from him, but I can speak to this. So the work on the guide has been going on for months, and so Rick and I went through this in some detail, and essentially it would cost us about $3,000 less to not do the guide than to do it at this point, because of work already done, ads already sold, and everything. And so, the question I asked Rick was, for those businesses that have already placed ads in the guide, whose money would have to be refunded if we didn't do the guide, would they maybe rather have that money back now, rather than have the ads placed in the guide with the uncertain future? And he said he ran that by the Lodging Coalition, and their answer was, we really depend on the guide for our advertising. We want to see it go ahead. So between those two factors, we decided that it made sense to go ahead.
And we also asked for an understanding of what he was proposing for his 10% cut, as has been asked. So can we get any of that information?
That is mostly coming out of his advertising budget. So he's almost entirely ceased placing ads. And those are going to be, you know, on hold until it makes sense to place them again and to rethink what we're doing. I don't have the budget in front of me, but that's basically where the majority of it was coming from.
Right. On the this resolution, I think on this resolution, it certainly makes sense for us to continue on it. It'd be kind of foolish for us not to spend the extra $3,000, which is basically what it's going to be, because we spent the rest of it. So I think we'll have to find other cuts in that budget, but at this point, I think we need to move on.
Any other comment? Any other comments from committee members first, Trace? Just make sure we get everybody on the committee answered first.
No, I think at $3,000, it doesn't make sense not to move forward.
Okay, Tracy, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I had trouble getting in. I just want clarification. The $3,000, it costs only $3,000 for the printing?
No, sorry. In terms of the work that's already been done and the costs that have already been incurred and the ad sales that would have to be refunded, at this point, to not do the guide versus doing the guide, the difference is about $3,000.
Thank you. I apologize for having you repeat it. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Just one more. I'm looking at first quarter expenses under, would this be under professional services for the guide?
Yes.
Okay, so he's already booked $84,000. Is this towards the guide?
I'm sorry, where are we?
I'm just looking at a report, a first quarter report, and what has already been expended in professional services, and so I was just curious if this was attached to the guide.
I'm not sure what you're looking at. I think, and I'm not sure exactly the different buckets that his budget is under, so I'd have to take a look.
Okay.
I don't know if the contract with Cubic, the ad agency, is included under that, because there would have been expenditures under that already. So I suspect that that's what that is, but I'd have to take a look to be sure.
Okay.
I could clarify that. I'm here.
Oh, right.
Oh, all right.
I didn't want to butt in. That money, part of our fees for professional services also include the money for our agency. So that's the money that's been encumbered and has been spent for the first 3 months. Also, Evelyn was on point with all her information. I just would like to stress that we have paused all our paid media right after the effects of the pandemic in mid-March. So, and I don't know when we're going to be able to resume paid media. So I think it's more incumbent than ever to have the travel guide, because that'll be basically our sole means of selling the county. And it's certainly one of our main promotional tours. So that's one of the reasons I think it's very, important that we have the guide out on the distribution of the Thruway and all the other places we distributed throughout the Northeast.
So Rick, real quick. So you'd stopped your other media advertising, I guess is what you said. So now, has that resulted in a cut in your budget or a savings in your budget at this point, or how is that working?
Right. Yes. Well, we're saving that money for when it makes sense to spend it, which we don't know when that's going to be. It all depends on when the governor lifts the restrictions and we expect people to come in. So, yes, we still have a substantial, but enough money to get us through the rest of the year when we resume our paid media.
Legislator Archer.
Rick, We just heard that potentially your 10% cut is coming out of your advertising. Can you share what you proposed as your 10% cut and how much that was?
Right.
And one other follow-up, Rick. You did more. You usually do another guide. Are you stopping any other guides? You're only going to do this guide. Didn't you do a restaurant guide or something as well?
Yes, we haven't done that in a couple of years.
Okay.
We decided to just do the travel guide and advertise our restaurants on the website because, you know, Lynn, the information changes so quickly on the restaurants.
Right.
So on as far as our budget, we had a 10% cut, which was about $115,000, and $93,000 of that was advertising, paid media. We also, of course, we're not going to conferences, so that was another $7,500 travel. We cut overtime because, obviously, we're not on the road like we normally are. So that's basically the breakdown of the $115,000 and the 10% that we've proposed to cut.
And it's $150,000? It came out to $150,000?
$115,000.
Thank you.
Right.
Tracy?
Thank you. Just another question for Rick and Evelyn. In the leadership meeting, Mark mentioned that the magazines wouldn't be circulated this summer, that it was anticipated we would hold the circulation of the magazines potentially until next summer. Are we obligated contractually to circulate them sooner based on the advertising buys in the magazine, or what is the plan for distribution of these magazines?
The plan is, and we already have some distribution contracts in place, is a one-year contract from whenever the legislature approves it, a one-year period to print and distribute the guide. I'm not sure what magazines Mark was referring to. But
he was talking about the guide.
Okay. Yeah, we have plans going forward to do the guide for this year.
So, Rick, when would distribution typically start?
We would have it out usually the middle of May. It's going to be a little delayed this year, probably, which is probably a good thing because it's going to be probably a one-month delay, so it would hit the all the distribution points around the middle of June, and that's actually going to be beneficial because I think that's when hopefully some of the restrictions will be lifted and people will actually be looking for the guide. And they need it to do their planning, so it's always nice to be out there, right at the beginning of the summer.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? No one opposed? Lynn, I can't hear you, Lynn. You're muted. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Thank you. I have to say I'm struggling. I know that you've already put money out there. Has we already expended or is it through contract? Do we have a contract that I just feel like we don't even know what we're going to be open for business for. And I get it. It's everybody's up there, but we're spending a lot of money and I just feel like we have to start being a little more disciplined about where we're putting our money and what's realistic in this post-COVID environment, which we're actually still in. So we don't even know what's going to happen over the next several months. And so I'm really struggling with this.
So do we have to
add a little
Hold on, Rick. I think we already started the vote, so we have to complete the vote. Is that correct?
Sorry.
That's all right. Is that correct? We have to complete the vote? Dave?
I get my one question answered. Okay.
Yeah, no.
If I can't get it answered, I'm a no.
No, I'm saying I don't know because we did already start the vote, and then I asked for questions. There was no questions, so I asked for the vote, and then there was another question. Yeah. So I'm asking, you know, with the procedure here is to continue the vote, or do we continue asking questions? You know.
Well, if you want to continue asking questions, fine. But I think we've been advised that it would cost us basically it's $3,000. Because
the money savings up through, already, right?
I think I'm savings. Speaking right now.
No, that's
$3,000 or return the money and not do it. And so it's basically $3,000. I mean, do you not do this at this point? I don't get it. I just don't get why you would not do it at this point for that type of money. Making sure that you do add these out. And many of these actually last more than just this lasts for a few months. People use them right into the following year.
Okay, is there any other questions or comments? Tracy?
Thank you. Rick, I'm wondering, or Evelyn, and I know it, you probably don't have it handy today, but could we get a copy of what it costs to advertise in the magazine? What those buys cost the restaurants and the businesses?
Sure, I can provide that. We have a rate card. Be happy to send that to the members of the committee.
That would be great. And then my one follow-on question to that is, I know this may seem like an odd question, but have you discussed with any of the businesses their thoughts about continuing with the distribution of this?
Yes. As Evelyn noted, I had a Zoom call with the leadership of the Ulster County Lodging Coalition, and I asked them, among the people were on the Lodging Coalition, is Mohonk, Emerson, Buttermilk, Pine Ridge, and they all indicated that they'd rather have the guide being out and distributed and advertising their properties than having their ad revenue refunded to them.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Legislator Archer, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted, just for clarification, Rick, you've already collected the money from them, correct?
The firm that is doing the guide, they've collected the revenue, correct.
Okay, and that gets applied to the cost of the guide?
Correct, gets deducted, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, so let's take this vote again so I make sure that we have it right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed? Okay, so then it's moved. Thank you. So then now we're going to take a couple. I'm sorry.
So the vote was 8-0, or was it? Did Lynn Archer change her vote to a yes in the final count?
Final vote was the final vote. I didn't say no. So, yeah, I'm a yes.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
Okay, for expediency, would you like to go do 178, 179 first and then come back to 177? Or how would you guys like to do this? I'm open. I think if maybe we clear the deck and then come back to 177, what do you think? I think that's a good idea. Let's do that. All right. So 178 is establishing a process for the development of a housing action plan for the county and authorizing the chair in collaboration with the county executive to create an advisory committee on housing to assist in its development, Department of Planning.
So moved.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion or questions? Dr. Wright is here this evening to answer questions that anyone might have. We have the outline of what the executive's office is proposing as the committee. I think we've all seen that. We saw that at the last couple of meetings. And so our next steps would be to actually form this committee and put names in. We have folks, we have a slot from the legislature that can be filled. And I'm sure that Dr. Wright in the executive's office would entertain any suggestions for the other positions to consider filling those slots. So is there any discussion on this evening? Dave, go ahead.
Yes, this is something we've been discussing for months, and we've been working with the county executive on this. We went back and forth exactly how we wanted to go about doing it. And rather than creating just a committee that would be from, in other words, the legislature, we felt that a joint effort with the executive made much more sense, and I think it's the way to go. So I'll support it, and I hope we all support it.
Any other questions from the committee? Okay, so Legislator Walter asked before you, Legislator Bartel, so we'll let Abe go first.
Hi, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm trying to tell from reading the resolution, but is the intent of this committee to identify the need, or is the intent of this committee to identify some actual potential solutions that we could then choose one and produce resolutions to actually do something? So is it, yeah, so which of the two is the intent of this committee?
Yes, both. It's yeah. The study is envisioned to get us all up to date on the data, as well as look at scenarios for how that data may change with the crisis that we're living through, but then to proceed quickly to looking at solutions and both, tried and true tools, as well as things that are being tried elsewhere. And so the committee is to provide input to that and help select then those solutions to be built into actual policy.
But the legislature, will these potential solutions be shared with the legislature before any kind of enactment, so that we can give feedback into, the potential benefits and drawbacks of some of these solutions?
Sure, I imagine we'll work through this committee to do that.
Right.
Don't forget, we're also going to have a member appointed by the committee, and we're going to work in conjunction with the executive's office. Yeah. Is the intent to try and get, as much representation across the spectrum of housing needs in the county heard. And then, I've gotten suggestions from a couple of different other legislators that have been forwarded to Dr. Wright for inclusion and for consideration. And I think we just continue to do that and keep moving towards the solution. I think initially we have to obviously determine the need, which is as we have experienced, is such a fluid thing, and it's going to change even more as we go forward here. So we have to have the ability to move very, very quickly, right? So with that, I think with Legislator Bartels and – oh, actually, Legislator, you should tell us on the committee. Tracy, I'm going to let him go first, okay?
Thank you, Chairman Cahill. So just to that last point, we're not – in this legislation, we don't actually cede any power. So if midway through, or if at any point through this process, the legislature wanted to act on housing in any capacity, we would still potentially be able to. And if anything that the executive proposed had to go through, because of the form of request they were making, had to go through the legislature, we wouldn't have ceded any authority over that decision through this legislation. So we preserve all of our, prerogative on housing here. We're merely supporting this approach, and we probably won't be throwing up, all sorts of resolutions for different things because we want them to work through this committee. But if we wanted to, we would still be able to. We haven't ceded that, we don't cede that authority. We don't cede that legislative prerogative here at all.
Thank you. Legislator Bartels?
Cool. Thank you. So thank you for circulating the background Chair Cahill. I just have a couple technical questions, and the first is, how is the chair going to be selected for the committee? Normally, when we form committees, we say in the resolution how the chair is going to be selected, and I don't see anywhere in the background or in the resolution how that's going to happen.
So the actual structure of the committee, and Dr. Wright and Dave, as I understand it, is really going to be up to the executive's office, how he structures that committee and how they I'll let Dave go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, actually, we've been in discussions at this since December. And the idea here is, you know, the executive's office can, move things a little quicker than the legislature. We are a deliberative body. But actually, Abe hit the nail right on the head. We're giving absolutely nothing up here. What we're doing is trying to work very closely with the executive and be part of it. And anything that comes out of there, of course, will have to go through the legislature and resolutions. Whoever chooses the chair, we haven't really got into that discussion, but it's going to be chosen within the committee. That would be the most likely the way it normally is done. The committee will make a decision within that, and they will elect somebody that will chair that committee. And the committee is more of a task force, I would say, rather than a committee. I would kind of call it sort of a task force. I always think of committees from the legislature more, more directly from the legislature. But the input, I implore everyone on the legislature, if they have somebody that they, think that should be on this, please let me know or let the executive know or Evelyn. We're looking at, trying to make sure that this is a very effective task force, and we're trying to make it open enough where we can get it done. Sometimes, as if we did it just through the legislative body, us being a deliberative body that we are, we could be talking about the committee for months on end, of which we already have technically, but the COVID thing basically sort of usurped took the blood right out of this from the beginning, and now we're back on it. So now they're going to choose that chair would probably be done within the committee.
Okay. Can I ask a couple other technical questions from the background from the MOU? Who's going to call the first meeting? Is the executive going to call the first meeting?
Well, this is the executive's committee, Tracy. It's not a legislative committee. This is the executive's committee. Right? Am I right about that?
It's a joint committee. I mean, the legislature is making some of the appointments, which that's one of my questions too, because it says the chair of the legislature will appoint the legislative representative and three other members. So is it just what three other members is the legislature, the chair going to appoint?
Well, that's, I think, a negotiation between the chair and the executive, correct?
That's what we're doing, right? We're looking at, like I said before, it's a collaboration thing. So we're both looking at, in other words, they're looking for the chair to do, technically, the way it is right now, looking more to do those people that are from the community, like community organizations type of thing, as opposed to the more expert type of things. The experts will be most likely through the executive.
And is there a time frame for the completion of the work, or is it just open-ended?
The time frame is through the end of this year.
Okay.
We are looking at, we want to, accomplish that quicker, but, in reality, we have to face, the realities of even today with the COVID and all that. So I think the end of the year makes sense.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's more than reasonable, and it's ambitious, but probably
just. Right.
And just one last comment or suggestion when you're talking about suggestions for representation on the committee. I don't see it written there, but I think you might want to consider our ag community, because housing's been an issue for the ag community, it's not specifically listed, but I think...
We did suggest that, didn't we? At one of the committee meetings, we did suggest that the ag society, the community was representative on that. I thought we did make that suggestion.
I heard it once before, and I thought it was a good suggestion. I'm just reading it again to the top, because I don't see it in that background, but if there's flexibility, I think it's something you might really want to consider, because it's an important aspect of our community that faces challenges in housing.
I would suggest that if anybody has any party that they would like to be appointed or you be considered, does that not directly to Fawn? You know, and Fawn can organize that. That's just her committee that she does. So, I mean, that would make sense for me.
Thank you.
Any folks on the committee? I see it, Pete. Just one second. I see Legislator DeLuna just came in. I don't know if he had any questions or comments on this real quick.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
If we're still on housing?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Okay. So my only question is, I'm hoping that as part of this process, not only is the need identified, but also some of the solutions having to do with finance and subsidy and attracting development to our communities.
Yeah, everybody agrees on that, I'm sure. Okay, Legislator Criswell, go ahead.
Yeah, just Chair Donaldson, I just wanted to make sure that the candidate that I had sent to you gets passed on to Fawn so that she's put into the mix of this.
Barry, could you just, can you send that to Fawn, please?
Sure. Did you have a back and forth with her, or she sent her resume directly to you, though? Because she didn't send that to me.
I did not see one. But that could be
I'll reconnect with her, and I'll connect her with Fawn. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Pete.
Any other discussion on this one? Okay. Take a vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Thank you very much. All right. So now we're going to go on to 179, which is creating a housing opportunity throughout the county by requesting the City of Kingston Land Bank, the KCLB, expand its jurisdiction outside of the City of Kingston and promoting the use of county-owned lands for workforce housing and Ulster County Planning Department. Motion for discussion.
I'll make the motion.
All right.
I'll second it.
Okay, great. Anybody have any questions about this or comments? So, go ahead, Dave.
Maybe Evelyn or Dennis can fill us in.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Dennis to fill us in a little bit.
Yeah, so this is really the formal initiation of a process with the city, with the city land bank, to talk about what an expanded land bank would look like, what kind of arrangements for staffing and funding and board composition it would have. So this is really requesting that the executive and the Kingston Land Bank start that process. And then, you know, with a view to making that expansion, if we can agree on a set of arrangements for it that is agreeable to everybody. And then the second piece of it is a request that we look at county-owned properties from the view of which of these could be suitable for housing development.
Mm-hmm. Kind of goes hand-in-hand with the previous resolution, actually, right, to give us some sort of stock to work with as we go forward. Right?
Yeah, so it's really starting to move on two of the solutions that we know are worth investigating more deeply.
Right.
Yeah, and can I just add to that, this is I think one of the things that's significant about this is pulls in the city into the conversation, and they, that's going to be a process, and I'm looking forward to, working with the mayor to understand where they're at with their, you know, with their land bank, and, you know, optimistically that we can make something happen here. But I think the committee, to Evelyn's point, definitely plays a role in how that all comes together. But hopefully we, this will help them start the conversation.
Yeah. Any other questions, Legislator Archer?
So can I assume that when you go into, once this gets passed, you'll sit down and carve out the structure, the board, how it's going to operate moving forward? And this is really just the ability to go in and have that conversation and negotiation, correct?
Exactly. Yep.
Thank you.
Legislator Bartels?
Thank you. Because this resolution says that we're requesting that they expand, not that, you know, that we begin to have the discussion, will it come back to the legislature with all the backup documentation in terms of what a new countywide land bank in collaboration with the Kingston City, an expansion would look like? I mean, that's, I'm just trying to, I totally support the idea of a land bank and a countywide land bank. I just want to understand how the transition from it being the Kingston City Land Bank to a true countywide land bank will happen.
It will always be the Kingston City Land Bank expanded, correct, as I understand it, because there's only so many land banks.
It's the only – sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. No.
There will not be more land banks approved by Empire State Development.
Right.
So if there's a land bank operating – like there's one land bank operating in Ulster County, and – that's if it, you know, but my understanding is that the, you know, a lot could change about it, and it might be a county. I mean, that's what we're talking about, is potentially a county land bank. And, you know, it's worth noting that it's not just our body that this would have to go before, but it's also their body as well. So it's complicated.
Yeah. Well, there'd be a great deal of formal procedures that we would have to go through to actually do this.
And can I ask for clarification of what Abe just said? Because I was told that there are a limited number of land banks, but not that we absolutely could not get approval for another land bank.
We've been told that it is highly unlikely that there are only a few slots left and they would not look favorably on another application from Ulster County.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and anything that runs through there, it has to be approved by both the legislature and the Common Council.
Right.
And potentially the existing land bank, which is a governance body.
Good point, Abe.
And Legislator Criswell just pointed out that they just appointed a new executive director recently. So that's a good sign, I think, because there was some stagnation on that board there for a while. And they weren't very active, so I think this is a good sign and a step in the right direction, right?
Do we know who it is?
I can't remember his name.
Well, they hired a housing director also this week, so I'm talking to Steve later this week, and I know the county executive's office has been in conversation, and those conversations continue, and I'll be sure to report back. But I will say, just, you know, for the benefit of, not benefit, but just, I do intend, and I think this legislation is, you know, very much in the spirit of the county executive being the driving force in that conversation with the executive from the city side.
Legislator Bartels?
But is it the hope through these negotiations to expand the jurisdiction of the Kingston City Land Bank to actually become a countywide land bank? I mean, that's what I'm reading, right? So,
yes.
So that would involve everything that Deputy Executive Wright said in terms of a new board, these kinds of things that would have to be hammered out through negotiation.
Yes.
How long has the Kingston City Land Bank been in existence or in operation?
It's been about 2 years now.
Yeah, it's not long. Not long at all. Yeah.
Although it's a long time considering they haven't put a house on the market.
Right. They haven't done anything in 2 years. So, you know, look, this, like I said, this, to me, you know, this works hand in hand with with our initiative to try and solve some of the housing problems in the county, and the city of Kingston is a good place to start because that's going to be one of the places where the greatest need will be going forward here, right? So
I think they've been having a sticking point on how to move about putting in, you know, putting the properties on, and they have been gathering up properties. But like Abe said, they haven't put one on the market yet.
Right.
And can I also just add, there is a clause here that is also requesting the county executive's office to examine what lands within the county's border, so outside of the city, might potentially be applicable to this type of a structure. So this way, that's happening in parallel with whether or not we can actually do this. So we might also hear from the county executive's office, and Deputy Executive Wright can tell us perhaps, you know, as we get updates on that part of this, because there's work to be done on the county executive side here as well with that component.
I think Legislator Criswell, you had your hand up.
Yeah, just I wanted you to know that Kathy Nolan just put in the chat, his name is Michael Gillard, and he's the director of housing initiatives, but he's also the executive director of the land bank, so he's holding both those positions.
Great, thank you. Legislator Bartels, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I mean, I looked into Albany County Land Bank has had some pretty remarkable success in a relatively short period of time. And when we're inventorying existing county-owned lands, the way that's worded, you know, it sounds like the properties that we currently own and operate, which that changes every time it comes to the tax foreclosure sale. And where they've had great success is in getting residential properties that are put up for tax foreclosure turned around and sold to be developed for lower income housing. So, I mean, I think there's tremendous opportunity here. And I'm definitely looking forward. I just want the comfort that that it will come back to us and that the conversations, but if that's what you're saying is going to happen, then I'd be good with it.
Any other discussion or comments or questions? Okay, so all those in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? No. Okay. Thank you. So let's do resolution 180, which is authorizing the chair of the county legislature to execute an easement agreement with the city of Kingston for the Ulster County Midtown Linear Park in the city of Kingston, Department of Planning. So a movement for discussion, please. And Legislator Archer.
I'll move.
And
I'll second.
You should tell. Okay. Thank you. So anybody have any questions or comments on this one? I'm assuming this is railroad, where the railroad used to be, something like that. Okay. Anybody opposed to this or any other comments or questions? Mm-hmm. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. All right, so I have this other one here. I got one. Oh, well, actually, let's do this. So I'm not quite sure how we do this, but the sponsor of resolution 8 and 9 said they're going to withdraw this. So how do we approach that in this committee? I'm going to look for some guidance from some of the more experienced legislators on this one.
Busy. Well, she said she's withdrawing it, then they're withdrawing.
Yeah, she told me verbally she's withdrawing both 8 and 9. Legislator Lips.
We don't have to take any action then.
Oh, we do not have to take any action.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I will not remember that, but thank you. No. All right, so let's go to.
I'll remind you when I need to.
All right, thanks. Okay, so let's go to resolution 177, which is appointing and reappointing members to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency Board of Directors. Anybody want to move that for discussion, or are we just going to vote yes?
I'll move it.
Second. A second? No? Legislator Uchitel, thank you. Okay, for discussion? Anyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all. I am. Well, for actually, first of all, as a point of clarity, we, you know, this is. What exactly are we moving here? Because we're interviewing people coming up. So what exactly is the resolution with TBDs? Is it just that we fill them in as a friendly amendment before it goes to the floor?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly right.
And so as another point of information, this is this the answer to the question of would they go before us as a slate versus as individual resolutions, and as one resolution, this would be them going before us as a slate?
It would depend on the interviewing process. At the end of the interviewing process, if we have a pretty strong consensus that these seven people will be there, then it would go that way. But I'm making an assumption that may not happen, so then it'd be seven individuals.
Right. I agree with that. Let's.
This is a little bit like putting the cart before the horse. Why are we taking action on this now because we haven't even interviewed anybody? So why don't we just postpone this for a later date after we know who the committee, who fleshes out successfully, for the interviews, and do it properly without having to take the horse and put it around the front again.
Legislator Donaldson?
I think the purpose of this was so we do not have to have a special meeting of the legislature to carry out. It may end up being postponed if we're not finished with the interview process. It's up to the committee how they want to move forward on it. I think the point was we wanted to get the IDA board established, now. I mean, rather than later. Our problem is normally it's been done at this point and now, during the year. But the COVID thing, of course, created some problems. And, of course, we've had some problems within the IDA and a number of things that I'm not going to talk about, other than an executive session. About certain things that took place. I think that's the purpose of it. But I mean, if you want to postpone it and have that meeting, later on, after the regular meeting, that can be done also, or, in whatever the pleasure of the committee in the end wants.
Right. So the only thing that I would add to that, Dave, would be that, there is a sense of urgency to have our economic development engine in place as soon as possible, right? Where the IDA is going to work with USEED, is going to work with the Economic Development Office, is going to work with, at this point, probably, some government agencies from the state and maybe even federal government, to get the economy moving forward again here. And that would be the only thing that I would say, would be a reason for me to want to pass this resolution now and appoint the members at the May meeting, only because I would love to have these folks in place so they can hit the ground running when the economic development, other parts of the economic development agencies in the county are ready to roll, right? That's just my opinion. Legislator Litz?
Yes, thank you. If we're going to vote on this tonight, I'll be a no, because, I think this is a very important decision to make with the IDA, and I think the whole process here is being rushed like you cannot believe, and to put forth a resolution to approve a board with no names in it, to me, is kind of ridiculous. If this is that important, then why don't we have a special meeting before legislative session and complete the process? I mean, I'm being told this is extremely important, but it's not important enough to have a special meeting? That makes no sense to me. I mean, the EDA board, we're having a special meeting next week you know, for discussion on some things there.
No, we can have a special meeting. That's up to the chairman to call a special meeting. That's up to him, right?
Well, that's basically what I said. If you want to have a special meeting, we can do that. The purpose was to put the placeholder in there and try to attempt to get this done rather quickly. Now, I understand that you're, but we have 13 applicants. 2 years ago, we only had 12.
We have 14 now?
We had 14 applicants. 2 years ago, we only had 12.
Right.
So you know that we do have a really good members of, you know, really good applicants here. We have some, you know, very impressive applicants. And as I said, we only had 12 2 years ago. We had 14. So we have applicants. And we're still, actually, if somebody else still wants to throw in their name, we can still make a time for the interview. Now, if you want to have a special meeting on that, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, we can, you know, we just do it the week after or whatever the case may be of the monthly meeting. But, you know, I think it's imperative to get it done before the following month, you know, particularly in the light as what Legislator Cahill was pointing out. We're trying to put all these pieces together at the same time so we can move forward and really make Ulster County business friendly. Because we're going to need to, and we're going to have certain opportunities that we probably would never have had because of the COVID. We may have some opportunities that there may be some silver lining there. I hope, anyway. But regardless, we've got to put all this stuff together.
Legislator Litz.
I'll make a motion that we postpone this resolution until we have sufficient content in the resolution so that we can actually vote on appointing a board.
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
We have a question. Eve has a question, and she's not on video, so we can't see her raising her hand.
Okay, Legislator Walter, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So I recognize my comments aren't specifically about this resolution, but I do want to, for the record, say a couple of things about this process that I'm really concerned about. As a freshman legislator, I did not know anything about what was going on. Less than a week ago, I was informed this. All of us were informed this was happening, but for some of us, it was the first time. I had to spend several days just trying to understand what the circumstances were, and I did due diligence by seeking out people who would be strong for this committee, and I would be extremely disappointed if the candidates that I put forward or other legislators are working to put forward, if they don't get their chance to be interviewed. I doubt the people who I had to rush to get resumes just today will be available tomorrow. I put work into the list of questions, and I would like to know that, and other people have submitted questions, that those have been thought through. Yes, I found this a very disappointing, this process, and it doesn't allow me to be the good legislator I try to be.
Let me answer a couple of your questions. First of all, that any candidate that's presented to us, we're going to interview in a timely fashion. If we have the candidates, we're going to interview them. Second thing is that before we leave tonight, we're going to have to whittle down the number of questions we have. I think, I don't know, what, 16 questions now, Deputy Cantillo? I'm sorry, you're muted there? You're muted? I'm sorry, can't hear you.
Right now we have more than 18 questions?
Right, so we're going to have to whittle that down. I'm sure some of them are going to overlap a little bit. I was going to ask the committee to, you know, maybe take a look at that tonight too as well. So I understand your concern, and you know, we're going to work to get everybody's voice heard and make sure that anybody that needs it. And now that this has been postponed, you know, we have a little bit more time, so we'll work on it, right?
So you're telling me that there'll be another interview date set so that these other candidates can be interviewed?
Well, so here's the intention, right? So if we now have we have interviews set for tomorrow, which we're going to go forward with, based on the work that we've done so far and the commitment that the applicants have, made to us to be there at that time. I was also had spoken to Deputy Clerk Tantillo about opening up a second round of interviews for A, the legislators that couldn't be there for these interviews on the committee, right? And B, if we did get any late ones that we couldn't fit in, right? So I was looking at actually trying to do some of those tomorrow night, Thursday night rather, or Friday. But since this is being postponed, and we really don't know when it's being postponed to at this point, right? We have time. So we'll have to go through all this again, scheduling candidates, getting background and all that again. That's all.
We just can't schedule anything tomorrow night. We have, I think you have another meeting.
Right. Legislator Archer, then Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the urgency of moving forward. What would be really helpful, it was a bit challenging trying to rearrange my schedule to accommodate be available for all the interviews. So if we're setting up another date, it would really be helpful at least to get to the committee, this standing committee, a couple of dates so that at least we can try and coordinate. We're all trying to work to help meet this need, but it would be helpful to get a little advance notice.
You made the statement that there's 18 questions. The tally sheets that were given to me only list 15 questions.
Right, we got more during the meeting, actually.
Okay, I need an updated copy.
Yeah, we're going to get that. Fawn's going to get everybody updated list of questions tonight, right? And, at some point, we also have to discuss the how the tally sheets were worked. When they set up the Zoom meeting, they didn't allow us time to have anything. So it's set up to start at 9 o'clock, and we initially had planned on starting at 10 minutes of 9, but we can't do that now. So what I want to do is just take a few minutes tonight to explain how we're going to go through the tally sheet, and I guess we'll wait till we're done with everything else and just take a couple extra minutes. Yeah, Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. And Legislator Walter has her hand up as well. I just want to say so I don't forget. So one of my comments I could talk about in terms of the process of the interviews, but I just want to also circle back to the issue of how the resolution, I know it's been postponed, but the fact that all seven are on the one page and the question that Legislator Uchtel asked at the start. Traditionally, when we've had these, we've only kept them all on one resolution if it's unanimous, because technically they're separate resolutions, right? They're separate ideas. So I just want this committee to think about the fact that unless we're unanimous in all seven of the appointments, and by unanimous, I mean unanimous across the legislature, they're going to have to be split out, and then we're going to really have to think through how we function if we don't get consensus on the seven members and who of the sitting members are left to stay or not. I don't think we've ever done this before where we've done a whole board all at once in one swoop. So I just want to put it out there.
I don't think we're going to end up that way. It's pretty clear.
May I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
The point is that we can split a resolution, but we cannot combine a resolution. That's why it was put in this manner. You can always split it, but you can't combine it. So it just makes it, it just made it so it can be done. That's about it. And I'd also want to make a point that typically these appointments are, in other words, they're aired and they're done by the committee. I've not seen much outreach out to the, outside the committee dealing with the IDA unless somebody actually took interest in it. So typically, it was done sort of within the committee. And as we point out, there is some urgency to get this accomplished, somewhat quickly. And I don't know, many of you may not have had the conversations with the executive director or the firm that deals with the IDA, but if you did, it would probably make your sense of urgency a little more. But that would have to be done in executive session.
Okay, so I think go ahead, Legislator Uchitel, and Legislator Walter, I'll get to you in a second, okay?
Well, I'd like to defer to Eve, and I can speak after.
Okay, go ahead, Legislator Walter.
Thank you. I'll add first in response to what was just said. You know, perhaps the problems that I've heard about all these years may be due to the fact that this was done just within a committee, and maybe opening it up to more legislators being involved. This is a very important board, and even though I'm not on this committee, I feel like it's very, I want to be engaged, and I know many other people off of this committee do also. And also, since I'm not on the committee and I don't see the questions, and I don't get it in the email, and I'm not going to be part of that conversation, I'll just say that my take on from an outside perspective and someone who writes questions for a living, several of the questions are really written in a biased way that require that the person fully understand what the IDA does. There's some very smart, useful, intelligent people out there who could serve this IDA very well, who wouldn't necessarily be able to answer those questions. And so I just caution you on really making sure the questions are about how they see business development, how they, those kinds of things, rather than asking them things that they wouldn't be able to answer if they weren't already a part of this system. Thanks.
That's a very good point.
Brian, you're muted.
I've only been using conference calls with this for 20 years. I'm surprised I forgot that, but any other comments or questions on this? It has been. Go ahead, Legislator Uchitel.
Yeah, I just, Eve's first point and the point that she just made are I just wanted to add my, feelings to those. I mean, I don't think I could say it better than she did. As a freshman legislator, this is a process that is challenging to understand with an IDA. And the thought of recruiting in such a quick way, candidates for it, the turnaround on interviewing. I mean, I realize we're, making some improvements tonight, but I hope that the weeks that follow are handled more deliberately, thoroughly, thoughtfully, and with a spirit of process than what we've had in the last few days, because it does feel, it doesn't feel right how quickly this is moving forward. And I think Legislator Walter said it perfectly, and I just wanted to underscore that.
Legislator Criswell?
Yeah, I just wanted to reference an email that I sent to Legislator Cahill regarding a job description. I didn't see any sort of a description for this position, and it really surprised me because I've sat on boards before, and there's usually some sort of little description of, like, here's the duties that you're being asked to do. So I was just really surprised because I want to be a part of trying to figure out who will be on this board as well, but I feel like I don't have anything to even really hold on to right. Send to somebody and say, this is the criteria, this is what we're looking for, this is what we're asking you to do. So I don't know if there's anything like that even available, but
I thought I replied to you with the outline from the law.
That was not any. It wasn't.
That was it, though. That's what it is.
That was not a job description. It was not a position description in any way.
Right. I understand fully. I agree with you, and I tried to find it, and that's what we were able to come up with was that just kind of like a guide as to who should be on these boards, right? What parts of the community should be represented. There was no criteria as to what the qualifications or background or anything like that for board members is, right?
Right. it's such an important
position
that there should be something that's in writing saying, here's what we
I agree with you. Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. I want to say that I also very much agree with Legislator Walter's comments, particularly as they relate to the existing questions. You know, it almost sounds like a quiz to see what these people know about the existing IDA rather than to get an understanding of who these people are and what their backgrounds and what they could bring to the board. The questions that Legislator Walter added and some of the other new ones, I think, are more to that kind of open-ended conversation where you're actually getting to learn about the board members. And I spoke with Legislator Cahill about this, about the opportunity, at least for the committee members, however the chair of the committee wants to do it, but at least for the committee members to be able to ask follow-on questions and get to know the candidates through the interview process, which I think is really important. The other thing I want to point out is that these questions are really clearly, I mean, I think most of the old ones should go, but these questions are really clearly for new people. A whole different set of questions would need to be asked, I think, of the existing board members who are all candidates, and to talk to that, to talk to each of them about their experience on the board, what's working, what's not, et cetera. And that's not been addressed either. I'm not sure if you feel you'll be ready for tomorrow with that, but I think these questions do need a lot of work.
I just want to make a point that the questions that we started with were the questions that were used the last time that the legislature, and many of you folks were on that legislature, gave the IDA to the committee to ask. And that's
the
basis.
I complained about them then. Just to be on the record, I said that was an issue then.
Okay. Yeah, and we're going to adjust again. Like I said, we are going to ask the committee to look at those questions and pare it down a little bit and, you know, rearrange it, and we'll try and do it. So, Legislator Archer?
Yeah, and those questions were at a point in time, and they kept getting reused. We had a number of times had some discussion around them. They just, at that point, never got changed. So, I agree. I don't think that they're relevant to where we're at today and what we're trying to accomplish, and some of the newer ones to have more immediate impact.
I just want to also state that I think we got two questions before today to be added to the list before today. We only were supplied two questions by Legislator Bruno from Sawgrass. Other than that, no one else sent us questions before that. So go ahead, Legislator Litz.
No, I just wanted to add to Lynn Archer's statement. Yes, back then, it seemed like we were rushing the process, kind of like we're doing today.
Mr. Donaldson, I think we're going to wrap this up because we do have other things we want to talk about.
Right, and what's odd about it is 2 years ago, they rushed the process using the existing questions, and there was very little input from outside the committee, just so you understand that. And the questions were used 2 years ago, and then I think they may have been very similar questions 2 years before that. So you may think we're rushing the process, and maybe we are. We're actually making more inclusion than has been done in the past.
With that said, I just want to just review real quickly for the interview for the committee members and anyone who isn't on the committee that would like to leave, feel free. But tomorrow we'll be giving tally sheets, and we're going to base our results on the interviews on a 1 to 10 scale. Giving the candidate a higher score as you go up. And then we'll use those numbers to determine who the candidates will be. Fawn has already sent out the revised list of questions, and I really think that if we have 18 questions and we have how many candidates now? 14 total candidates, 18 questions, you know, this is going to take...
But you only have 20 minutes to interview each person, so
right. So it's going to take days and days to ask 18 questions. Is my point. So I think that we should really take a look at those questions and actually, you know, rate the questions that you have, and then we'll limit it to, you know, the top, say, whatever, what's on there now, 7 questions? Whatever it was, maybe we do that. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, we could really drag this thing out as long as we want if we want to just, you know, keep doing all that. I don't know.
Currently, there's 15 questions.
Now, the revised list has 18 questions.
Yeah, Fawn just sent it out during the meeting, Liz, to your list.
Can I just,
no, you said
whatever
something
questions.
About having 7 right. questions, it's 15. I mean,
right,
that's
but
what, now it's 18. There never
the
was
original,
a time there were only 7 questions.
Oh, the original one had 15 questions? That doesn't seem right.
The original one had 13 questions.
13, so we got 5 more. Right, so let's, you know, how many do you guys want to ask? You know, I mean, it's up to you. I mean, that's a lot of questions.
I mean, I think
just want to make one more point. By the way, we also asked each candidate to supply a written response to the questions as well. So we will have a written response to each question.
By Friday.
Yeah, right. So there's that, you know. So go ahead. Legislator Donaldson, you had a question or no?
No, I was just saying, I mean, even 13 questions are too much. The way I look at it, I mean, I think we can get to the point without 13 questions. But, I mean, does anybody have any suggestions on shortening these? I would, in fact, I'd perhaps say, you know, some people in our office, we have some people there that may be able to help us minimize the questions down a little bit, but let's, you know, work on getting those down to a decent number so we can get through an interview so you're not, you know, making somebody feel like they're sticking needles in their eyes.
Legislator Bartels?
I don't know if you and the committee want to go through, you know, question by question and try to whittle it down, but I just have one maybe simple one, and it's a question. The question regarding felony, I know we have a new executive, but Mike Hine had issued an executive order with a ban of box prohibiting us from asking that question on any prospective employee.
Yeah.
I imagine it would apply to boards. It no longer stands because he's no longer executive, but is there something in that it's the IDA that's requiring us to ask that question in terms of the felony?
Yeah, I think that was proposed today, wasn't it? That
it was on the original list,
that's
I think.
Full question.
Okay, yeah, so I don't know that answer.
Maybe we could find out if there's some legal reason. Otherwise, I would propose removing that question.
I would second that. And when are we, can we run that by the attorney?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just very off-putting. And when people, you know, serve their time, it's, you know, we're not allowed to discriminate based on that, so why are we asking that?
Eve sent us a revised list of questions where she had a preamble and then she had it narrowed down to 8 questions. I think I sent that to all of you, but I'm just trying to look now. I could just read them off. Many of them are questions we've asked before, but they're reworded.
Yep.
The first one is, why are you interested in serving on the IDA? The second one is, what experience do you have that will assist you in this role? Third, what do you feel are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to our county in bringing business to Ulster County? Why do you feel some priority areas, what do you feel are some priority areas for business development in our county? Number 5, what ideas do you have regarding how the IDA could best work with the county and municipal government? 6, are there times the IDA must make unpopular decisions to follow state law and IDA guidelines. Discuss any experience you have with this type of policy-driven decision-making. 7, have you ever been convicted of a crime, which we were just going to take out? And 8, is there anything that the commission has not asked that you feel we should know? I don't know if you
think they're pretty damn good.
I agree. I think legislator Walter should be the official question writer from here on in.
She's hired.
So let me just poll the committee real quickly. Do you guys feel like that's a sufficient list of questions to put out there tomorrow? Legislator Litz?
There is one question that has been eliminated. Don't we want to know if there's anybody that has financial interest in any company that may come before the IDA so we can eliminate conflict before they even start?
Yes, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, we should have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
That would be a good edit.
Yeah, that should be question number one, actually, right? Yeah.
Okay. Actually, yeah, because if he says yes, we don't even have to condition that.
See ya.
Yeah, we get 19 minutes back.
Yeah. All right, so let's get back to the committee. How do you guys feel about that? Do you want to take a few minutes? Let's say this. You heard the questions. Do you feel like that's a good list of questions to ask? And then we have all the other questions, and maybe we can just take a look at it tonight. And if you feel like there's one more that you want to add or something else that you want to add, or, you know, maybe just send it off and we'll include it in the morning. How does that sound?
Good. Seems fair. Yeah.
It seems fair, but I would like, I think they all hit the nail on the head, and it makes, you know, I'd like to have, you know, more concise questions that rather than, you know, 18, that's for sure.
Right, I agree, and I think that the questions that Legislator Walter presented will, you know, capture the spirit of what we're trying to, you know, put on the board, right? I feel like, anyway, yeah. So,
I want to thank Legislator Walter for doing that so quickly, but also to acknowledge that last question, because, you know, I've conducted a lot of interviews in my life, and that last question, I've learned more from a question like that than anything that was in the canned list of questions, because that's where you can get to know actually the candidate. So I think it's this great list.
Legislator Archer?
Yeah, we may want to think of a question that is more specific to current board members that I think would help maybe get some things going with them. So that was the one thing that I thought about. I just hadn't thought of a question, but something that would engage them in a different way. Is there anything, I mean, because they've done a lot of things over the last couple of years in changing UTEP and improving processes and procedures there. We may not like all of the things that have occurred there, but there's been some really good things. So maybe it's even a question of, you know, with all the accomplishments, was there any one thing that you didn't do that you wanted to, or how can we improve the IDA? What if there was one thing you could identify that would improve the process, what would it be? So as a way of gleaning something from those that have been doing this for a while.
Right. So that would obviously only be asked of the sitting board members.
Exactly.
Right? Obviously. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
I'll put together the questions and take out the criminal, you know, felony question and try to work in something that Lynn was just saying, and I'll send that to all of you, including Tracy and Peter and other people that have, you know, and Eve, and maybe you can hash it out, you know, you'll have a chance to look at it when you first, you know, before the morning.
May I also make one more suggestion? I saw the spreadsheet with all the information. Is there a way, just for saving my eyes, that we could break it down into three separate sheets of paper so that the questions are bigger next to it? Because it's kind of hard to read the way it is right now.
My printer will let me divide it into three pages. So I will, when I get it finalized, I will. Okay. I'll make PDFs of each page.
Perfect. Perfect.
And thank you.
I'm sorry?
We may have four pages now with the added I may be adding a couple more candidates if they can. If they can.
Right, but it would be much easier. And thank you. I know this has been a tall task, so thank you for the work and coordinating all of our schedules.
Okay. Anybody got any doubts?
Yeah, the questions for the existing members. Are we, are you just going to have about four or five questions for them, more or less, what's working, what's not working?
Well, I think that we I think we asked them the same questions we're asking everyone else, with the exception of the one that Legislator Archer proposed, which is, what would you do to improve the IDA, something like that, right? You know, what's working, what's not working, and what would you do to improve it, right? Otherwise, I think, you know, I don't want to have two completely different sets of questions for the candidates, right? Because we want to be able to judge them fairly. It's like comparing apples to oranges then, right? And so if we have a list where everyone's answering the same questions, then we're going to judge on those lists, on those questions for each candidate. They should be very close, right?
And with the exception of the one, I think you can get away with it. I think it's relevant. The other questions are just as relevant to members, existing members, as to new members.
Right. I agree.
If it's kind of open-ended, we might learn, like that last question, we may learn something if we just open the door to an existing member to tell us what works and what doesn't work.
Okay.
So you're saying that question will take the place of the other question that goes towards the everybody else. The open-ended question is what works, what doesn't work, and, you know, what can you do to improve?
Well, I think you may still want to ask that last question. So I think it would just be one extra question for existing members, is the way I understood it.
Right. That's the way I understood it, too. And so Dave, when Fawn sends an email out tonight, do you have any other questions about how, if you feel like that last two should be looked at differently, then we'll do that, okay?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody got anything else, or? Okay, I just want to say thank you for your patience through all this and your contributions. I know that, you know, we were kind of pushing a little bit here, and the idea was to try and get this done to work in conjunction with all the other economic development activity that's going to be taking place in the next, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, whatever it is. And I would still like to adhere to that, okay? So whatever we can do to make that work, I would appreciate the committee's cooperation in trying to get that to that end, okay? Thank you. Legislator Archer?
Yeah, I joined the you see the call today because I had seen on the note that they were proposing a small business program, and you may want to share or at least get a copy of this out to everyone, because I thought it was something that they should know about and be able to communicate to small businesses in their areas.
Right. Yeah. So I'll forward that to the committee and Legislator Litz. You know, I guess you can get it to your caucus. I'll make sure that it gets to our caucus. Okay. Anybody else have anything?
Looking for adjournment then.
Second? Dave?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something before I second that. You know, I do apologize that I put this resolution in kind of quickly, but I did it. I'm apologizing, but not apologizing at the same time, because I knew I had to get this done. If I didn't put it in, it would have been put off for another month. And I spoke with Legislator Cahill, and him and I agreed we had to push this, otherwise it would be put off for another month. And I apologize for having to do that, but I just felt it was a necessity. And I'll second that motion to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.